Should we try this before it blows up?
Yeah, right.
Dance, monkey, dance!
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris Hainer.
I'm John Michael.
How are you, John?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Not bad. How was your week?
It was pretty uneventful.
Yeah.
Nothing exciting. Yeah, kind of eh. And yours?
Not bad. Are you surviving the heat wave?
I think it's hotter where you are.
Still?
Still.
It's going to get
a little
cooler.
See, we're a peninsula.
Yeah.
Which means that we got breezes coming in on both sides of the coast, whereas you only have one coast. So we're, you know, below 100.
Oh. Okay. Well, whatever. You'll be there soon enough.
Of course. The fiery pits of hell.
But just a boring week for you? Nothing exciting?
No, nothing exciting at all.
Oh.
Kind of eh, you know?
Kind of eh.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you know, there's nothing on TV. There's, you know,
but
movies opening.
There were all kinds of big events that happened this past week.
There were?
Yeah.
Like what?
Some good, some bad. Should we talk about the passing of an American icon? You have no idea who I'm talking about, do you?
No, I do. Should we whistle?
Go ahead. You want to whistle in memoriam?
No, I don't want to whistle.
The passing of Andy Griffith.
Yeah, what was so bad about that?
Lots of people liked Andy Griffith.
They did? Why?
You know, it's one of those things, like, nobody ever talks about Andy Griffith, and you didn't even know if he was alive or dead.
Until they announced he was dead.
Until they announced he was dead, and then there was all kinds of outpouring on Facebook of how people were missing him, and people putting up pictures, and...
Yeah.
Mayberry's a little less full today, John. Who's left?
Is anybody left in Mayberry?
It's Gomer? Gomer's still alive, right? Jim Nabors?
Is Jim Nabors still alive?
Isn't he still alive?
I don't know.
And Ron Howard. They're the only two left. Right?
Yeah, Ron Howard's still alive. I guess.
You say that like you had to think about it.
Well, I mean, you can never quite tell with him.
He's got new shows and stuff on TV.
He does. And I believe I inspired him to make a movie. At least that's what the commercial said.
Did you send him pictures?
No.
Oh, well, then you didn't inspire him.
Well, screw him.
So did you find out if Gomer was alive?
Yeah, Gomer's alive. He's 82.
Okay.
Of course, by talking about him, we could be, you know, killing him right now.
Oh, because I'm sure the Dance Monkey Dance curse is in full effect for Mayberry.
Yeah, if only it would work on the Kardashians.
Okay, well, fine.
Yeah, so
if you don't want
to
talk
Andy Griffith's
him,
dead.
Yeah.
What can we say about Andy Griffith? Boy, they wasted no time putting him in the ground, did they?
Is he already buried and covered over?
Oh, within hours. Within hours. It's almost like, you know, they just had him stand at the edge of the hole and said, ready? Now? 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 Showed him a naked picture of Aunt B and fell right in. Curve it up, boys! No?
No.
You think he ever had a thing for Aunt B?
Oh, I think they went at it in the back in between takes.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
You don't think he was bending over every female in Mayberry?
Well, maybe Betty Lou, but, you know, and Helen Crump, the school teacher.
I didn't really watch the show, so I don't know who you're talking about.
Thelma Lou? That was Barney Fife's girlfriend. Thelma Lou!
Oh.
Yeah, anyway.
Sure. She played with his bullet.
You know who
in the
Otis
pocket?
was?
No.
You know who Otis was?
No.
Otis was the town drunk.
Oh. You watched a lot of
you
Mayberry,
really didn't,
didn't you?
You never watched this bastion of Americana?
I can probably say that I've probably only seen one or two episodes. And that's about it.
Really?
Yeah. I grew up
that's
in a time
of
American TV that it was like Gilligan's Island, The Brady Bunch, What's Happening. You know, that's
you don't
the
remember
stuff
Floyd the Barber?
No.
You don't remember Floyd the Barber?
No.
Wow. You remember the Darling Gang?
No.
No? Ernest T. Bass?
I couldn't even tell you what the two episodes I watched were.
Then why did you bring it up?
Because
how are we going to discuss anything?
Because I know how much you like them, and obviously you know a lot about them.
You know, Daphne and Skippy? They were the fun girls.
Did Daphne go on to solve crimes of Scooby-Doo?
Yes, she did.
Okay. So Daphne comes from Mayberry? Yes. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yep.
Was Daphne the loose girl in town? Is that what you're trying to say?
I don't know. She's just credited as being one of the fun girls.
Sounds like a loose chick to
oh,
me.
Yep.
Think Andy was hitting that too?
I don't know. I don't know. See? How can we discuss something you never watched? You know?
Because you're here to teach me, John.
I'm here to teach you about the good old-fashioned American values of the Andy Griffith Show.
Sure.
That taught you that drinking was wrong and you can't make things right with violence. And pie solves everything.
Well, certain kinds of pie does. No?
Blueberry? Strawberry? Con?
Anyway. Fine, so you don't want to talk about Andy Griffith.
Well, you know, what's there to talk about?
I'm just trying to give the dude some credit here.
Well, we just gave him credit.
Okay, fine. Okay, in other news...
What else do you want to know?
Nothing, never mind. In other news, in big scientific news this week...
We found the God particle.
We found the God particle.
Yes, the Higgs bose something or other. Higgs boson... Blah, blah, blah.
The Higgs boson particle, yes.
Yeah, that's it.
Do you know why they call it the God particle?
Because it will tell us everything.
No. Much to the chagrin of all the religious people who put on Twitter this week, in your face, atheists, it's called the God particle because they never thought they were going to be able to find it, so they called it the goddamn particle. And somebody shortened it because they felt that it was gonna piss people off. So it's not what you think, religious people.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't think so?
And it's if it does anything, it disproves God. Because now we know where the matter comes from.
Where does the matter come from?
The Higgs boson.
Oh.
It's the particle that makes all the matter have whatchamacallit. No, I can't even think of it.
Really?
Mass.
So did you hear about the Higgs boson particle that walked into church and the priest threw him out? And the Higgs boson particle said, but without me, how can you have mass? Thank you.
So do you think it's an exciting revelation in science?
Took an awful lot of money to get there, so what's it going to do for us?
It's going to give us a better understanding of the way the universe works.
Yeah, and?
You're so small-minded.
Well, no. Oh, listen here, Jersey boy.
What?
I mean, what's going to become... of us because of the Higgs boson particle.
We may be able to figure out the way that things are created and be able to do things that we weren't able to do before. Like
what kind of things? Like fly, turn invisible?
Well, no, but maybe transport stuff, great distances, maybe, do things that only were like in the realm of science fiction last week. And now it might be possible. It's exciting, John.
Might be.
It's exciting.
How soon will this be possible?
Who knows?
Will I be able to buy a transporter by Christmas?
Probably not this Christmas.
Will I have to camp out overnight at Best Buy just so I can buy my transporter before they're all gone? Because it'll be like the new iPad. They won't make enough.
Sure. If you want to go camp out and tell them when you get there that you want your transporter.
I'm here for the Higgs boson transporter. Damn it.
Well, maybe Best Buy will give you one for free if you camp out like far enough out.
I'm not going to waste that much time.
Oh, okay, fine. Right. See, you're just not into anything, are you?
Mm-hmm.
Like all this cool stuff that's happening. You're just kind of brushing it off because it doesn't directly affect you.
Well, I want to know how it will affect me. So edumacate me.
Well, I'm telling you, there's all kinds of scientific advancements that can come from this.
Such as? Velcro?
No, we already have Velcro.
Plastic?
Maybe better Velcro.
I don't know. I've seen Velcro's pretty good. How could you improve on Velcro? You know? How could you? How could you make Velcro better?
I don't know. Make it stronger. Make it so that, you know, that like you can hang up a car with it and it won't fall.
You know what? You can already do that.
With Velcro?
Yes. Have you ever seen Bullshit with Penn and Teller?
Which one?
The one with the Velcro, obviously.
No,
it's Penn and Teller Tell a Lie.
Oh, no, I didn't watch that.
They tell like four stories and one of them is a lie. And on one of them, they took like Gravedigger and another comparable sized monster truck.
Yeah.
And they attached these steel plates to their toe things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their things there that you toe with, the ball.
Yeah.
And Velcroed them together.
Okay.
And the Velcro held so well that Gravedigger was able to drag the other monster truck even though it was going in the opposite direction.
Wow.
So it's better than the little dwarf in the hard hat hanging from the beam with the super glue. Just saying.
Well, you know that if you interleave phone books together,
mm-hmm.
It's strong enough to pull cars and without like taping it down or anything.
And why is that?
Just the friction of the pages on each other. When you have that much stacked on top of each other, it's almost impossible to pull them apart.
Uh-huh.
The Mythbusters showed that you'd have to have two tanks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's amazing.
They actually took rental cars and they strung lines to each bumper and then had two phone books that were interleaved together in the middle and they could not break it.
That's amazing.
So, see, maybe, you know, Velcro could do something like that.
Hmm. Interesting.
No?
Okay. I don't know. It's not going to yield any results in the next 50 years, so why do I give a damn?
For the next generation, John.
Screw the next generation. They're all a bunch of brats.
Just think of the cool world my daughter's going to get to live in.
Yeah, right.
Whatever.
Romneyville? The United States of Romney?
Yeah.
Romnerica?
Romnerica.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Good times.
Okay.
Well, I guess, sure, that's a big deal somewhere down the line, but again, doesn't really affect me, so why do I give a damn?
Well, Jesus, okay.
At least you know who you're addressing. Thank you.
Well, that means I don't believe in you.
You should accept me as your personal savior, Chris. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
No.
First, I become Pope. Second, I walk on water.
Okay. Well, when you start walking on water, I'll believe.
Okay.
Okay.
Fine. Next.
Did you see the thing that was posted with Ron Perlman being a stand-up guy in Hollywood?
Awesome.
Decided there was a what? How old was he? A 6-year-old leukemia patient named Zachary went to Make-A-Wish and said that he wanted to meet and become Hellboy. And Ron Perlman, who played him in the movies, decided that he would get dressed up in full makeup as Hellboy and visit him. And then they made up the kid to look like Hellboy, which wasn't that great of a job. I don't know if you've seen those pictures.
he's wearing the brooms on the side of his head.
You know, I don't know if he couldn't handle the makeup or whatever. Here, wait, let me do this. Copy. I'll put this in the show notes so everybody can see it. But, where's start chat? Okay. Put this in the machine. If you scroll down towards the bottom, they have pictures of them making up the 6-year-old kid as Hellboy. And, you know, it's just one of those things, like, you don't expect somebody of Ron Perlman's caliber to be like, yeah, I'll do it.
Well, yeah.
And I just think that's awesome that he actually got dressed up.
Well, he even did something that I thought was even better than what he did for the kid. He brought burgers for the crew. He fed them. Come on.
You just like free food.
Yeah, it does look, though, that the version they did on the kids kind of half-assed.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at the pictures, it's like they show you putting all the makeup on Ron Perlman, and you're like, all right, well, it looks like a Hollywood makeup session. And then you scroll down, and they show, like, the kid painted, and, like, the red doesn't match.
Yeah, it's like a bad theme park paint job. You know, it's like mom took her lipstick and covered him up.
But it's very cool that they did that for him.
It was very cool.
We need more people like that in Hollywood.
We do.
Screw all these other people.
We do. Yeah, remember when to be famous she had to be known for something instead of just being an asshole? Ah, oh, the good old days, so long ago.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, those were the three things that I was going to talk about, and since you shot them all down in succession.
Bam!
What's going on with you, big guy?
Yeah, absolutely nothing. I'm going to go to the pool. I'll talk to you later. See ya. Yeah,
fine. Whatever.
No, you know, there's something. There's something that bugs me all the time.
Yeah.
And it's these stupid freaking reboots of franchises.
Yeah.
You know, Spider-Man just reopened. It's like, okay, we get it. He got bit by the spider. Blah, blah, blah. Why do you have to tell the story again?
Because apparently this time Spider-Man's father was in cahoots with the lizard at Oscorp.
But was he?
I don't remember that in the comic books.
See, I mean, that's just it. And it's like, you know, we've got the third in the Christopher Nolan Dark Knight trilogy, and now there's even talk about rebooting it again.
Well, yeah, because they don't want to lose the
momentum?
No, they don't want to lose the rights. If they don't move on a property, their rights revert back to DC, and they don't want that to happen.
So they tell the story again.
Well,
you know, I'm just kind of tired of it. It's like, come on, come up with an original idea. I don't care if you use the characters and create a new story around them, but do we have to have another origin?
No, and that's my issue with the whole thing is, you know, like
you
Marvel.
Know who they are.
Right. Marvel has talked about if Robert Downey Jr. ever decides to walk away from Iron Man, they're going to make another Iron Man film. But they're not going to retell the origin. They are just going to... It's going to be a James Bond type thing. It's just going to be somebody else and he's Tony Stark. Which...
Yeah.
You know, for all the flaws that the Tim Burton Batman movie had, the one thing that I truly liked was when the movie started, he was already Batman.
Right. Right. And there's a little bit of a flashback, but it's not, hey, we're telling the origin again.
Right. It's an hour of the first, like, it's the first half of the first movie has to deal with how they become whoever they are.
But we already know that.
Right.
It's like, you know, if you're going to do a reboot of the Brady Bunch, do we have to go back and, oh, once upon a time there was this lady and she had three daughters with hairs of gold. And one day the lady met the fellow and it's like, we know it. It's in the song. It's spelled out.
Well, see, in that case, they would just do the song in the beginning and you get all your backstory.
But they could have done the Batman theme. See?
But that doesn't tell the origin.
That tells you everything you need to. But that's everything you need to know.
Just Batman.
Just Batman. Okay. Duh. Batman.
Okay.
The author is Batman.
But you have to admit, at least.
Why do you need anything else? Why do we have to go through the psychological struggle? Why do we have to make a bigger character out of Lucius Fox just because we're paying Morgan Freeman?
Well, but you know? But you have to admit, at least in Christopher Nolan's universe, they never delved into the origins of the villains. You know, you don't know where the Joker came from. You didn't see his weird transformation into what he became. They didn't tackle that with Ra's al Ghul. They're probably not going to tackle that with Bane. You know, it's just they are who they are, and they're already there when
they am who they am.
They That's am who they am. It's Popeye. They're remaking Popeye too.
Without Robin Williams.
Yes. Speaking of reboots, he'll probably play the father this time.
Oh, Pappy.
Yeah.
No, I think Malcolm McDowell should play Pappy.
Okay.
Robin should do the voice of Sweet Pea.
Okay.
But it's like, when you're told that you're going to direct the next franchise of Batman.
Yeah.
Do you go, hot damn, I only have to write half a movie because the other half is how he became Batman.
Well, normally I'd say no. I mean, I think Nolan's thing with retelling the origin was to ground it in reality of showing you how he got the Batmobile and how he got the suit and how he put things together and made it more real worldish than, you know, he's driving around in this car. But he's not driving around in this fantastic car that, well, where did he get it from? Well, he's got this cave that's got all these.
He went to the superhero store. And he picked up a new cape and some gauntlets and some shark repellent and a new Batmobile.
Okay.
But he put the motorcycle with the sidecar on layaway.
Oh.
Because he wants that next.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of on his wish list. You know, he's working on the gift, you know, where you're supposed to positively think about stuff.
Oh, okay.
No.
No.
I could understand if they were doing a new feature film about the Wasp. A character people really don't know a lot about that you can actually delve into that story and take it somewhere else.
Right.
But I think that the studios are so lazy that that would be more work than doing another Batman movie, another Superman movie.
Well, do you think that the studios are going by the old adage of every comic book is somebody's first? Do you think they're?
Well, I think every movie is somebody's first.
Right. So, but could it be that they're playing under the assumption that every superhero film is somebody's first, so they have to explain it?
No, because they can't be that stupid. I mean, seriously. I mean, if Ghostbusters 3 gets made,
yeah,
do you think they're going to have to go back to the beginning and explain how Egon and Spengler got together?
No, but
they'll just be the Ghostbusters.
Hey, I agree. I don't like origin stories any more than anybody else. I don't want to see Peter Parker get bit by another spider. I don't care that Bruce Wayne's parents got killed. I don't care that Daredevil was blinded. It's just you have to take them as they, you know, they show up. They should just be, you know, one of the beauty, the beautiful things about the Avengers was you started the movie and they were already their characters.
Well, because they came from the other set of movies that already set up who the characters are.
Right, but I think that's why this, like, people connected to the Avengers better than, like, Thor, because they don't have to sit through...
The origin story.
The origin story of how he had to come to Earth and lose his power to learn that he cares about people or whatever the fuck it was.
So basically, origin stories suck.
I think so.
It's not some magical premise where... We're supposed to look deep inside these people and say, oh, wow, that's why they became that way. It's like, just shut up and hit something. That's all I want. Can you fly? Great. Go fly. Do something. Do something. Don't brood. Do something. Go put on the bat cape and jump off a building or something.
Well, do you think...
Where's Barbara Gordon? Go hang out.
Do you think they're going to retell the origin story of Superman in Man of Steel?
Well, I could see them doing that, yes.
Well, actually, they are going to, because what's his name? Russell Crowe is Jor-El.
Boy, he's kind of come to the end of his career, hasn't he?
I don't know. I think he's one of those
guys. Or do you
think
Jor-El's going to be the big action hero of the film? Or do you think he's just going to be filmed in a soundstage wearing pajamas like Marlon Brando and they just splice him in as a big head?
I think it's one of those, like, we'll pay you ridiculous amounts of money.
Exactly.
To be in this. I mean, Kevin Costner's in it too, for Christ's sakes.
Has Pa Kent, isn't he? Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess we are going to have to sit through another origin story.
See, you know, and if Linda Carter shows up as a, news reporter or whatever. All right, whatever. That's nice.
You have to admit, though, Linda Carter's casting in Sky High was pretty genius.
Oh, it was amazing. It was genius. Same with Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't play a character. He played himself.
Yeah, well, you know.
And, you know, hopefully that's enough to keep her off of the comic circuit, unlike... you know, the cast of Buck Rogers.
Erin Gray did a stint in the Guild.
She did. I wonder how much she got paid for that.
$4?
Not
a lot.
She was on Hollywood Treasures trying to sell one of her spaceships and found out it was fake.
Yes. After she left it by the heater vent.
Yes, and it
half
melted.
Of it melted.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
See?
So here's surreal for you.
Okay.
You know my friends who used to own the animation studio?
Yes.
They had to go out, well, the husband had to go out to California for a meeting, and they found a really cheap flight through, like, Arizona.
Okay.
And they had a layover, and in Arizona, getting on the plane are Ed Asner, Erin Gray, Bruce Boxleitner, and Will Wheaton.
Wow.
Because there had been some comic convention and they were all there.
Oh, the Phoenix Comic Con just happened.
See?
Yeah.
There you go. Yes.
And did he talk to any of them?
No, but it was really nice that Will Wheaton helped Wilma Deering with her luggage, so.
It is kind of surreal.
I thought that would be a really bizarre plane flight, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You look familiar. So does he. Oh my God, so does she. I'm the only nobody here.
But when you think about stuff like that, like, because of the Comic-Con circuits and stuff, all the people that actually know each other, that they're, like, connected through those things that you don't even think about anymore.
Through the magic of comic books and and youthful ideology?
Sure.
Or because they're all hanging out at the Fridays at the airport terminal?
Well, no, just because they're all...
Hey, Lou Grant, pass me a wing.
They're all on that circuit, and they're all constantly seeing each other.
And you know that there's different levels of circuits.
Yeah.
you know, there's the high level circuit that, you know, Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill do.
Right.
There's that kind of mid level, which is like the 80s TV circuit. And then there's that lower level, which is the 60s TV circuit that Ellie Mae and Calamity Jane still do.
Yeah.
They're probably flying Southwest.
You know,
the guy who used to be the drummer for the Beatles but dropped out before they became famous. Oh, bad career move, huh, buddy? But at least you're on a circuit at the Holiday Inn. Woo!
But every once in a while, all those crossover, you get like a MegaCon in Orlando where it's just a bunch of different people that have done like one episode of something. And
yeah, it's Fat Mama from Who Wants to Be a Superhero and Charles Fleischer, who was the voice of Roger Rabbit, and George Takei.
Yeah. Oh, my.
Oh, my. Takei rhymes with toupee. Not Takai, as in sky.
So, obviously, you've met the man.
I told you, he taught me Klingon.
That's right.
Tak bet. That's all I remember.
Okay. Now, you've gone to a lot of those things, so who were your favorite people? Like, do you find that the 60s people are more accommodating than the people that do, like, the 80s circuit?
Well, I think the 60s people are kind of sad because they just hope somebody remembers them.
Okay.
And, you know, here's 87-year-old Donna Douglas wearing the Ellie Mae wig and the checkered shirt and the blue jeans. And, you know, she looks 87. It's
right.
Like, ooh, you look like Ellie Mae's great-grandma. It's kind of sad. I think there are people I have met at cons, some of them, they run the gamut.
Okay.
They just run the gamut. Billy Dee Williams was okay. All
right.
He did was bitch about the heat. Nathan Fillion was really cool. I mean, like, really cool. Took time to, you know, talk to people, and that was nice. Jake Lloyd, who was the kid in, who was Anakin in the fourth but first Star Wars movie, was really nice.
Yeah.
Was this, you know, a really nice guy talking to everybody. And I think as long as they kind of accept their fate, like, oh crap, I'm never going to do anything better than this, I may as well suck it up. I think that's great. But when you see the people who are like, oh my God, this is so beneath me, just get me out of here, and where's my check?
Right.
That's kind of sad.
Well, here you go. Here's the list for Dragon Con this year in Atlanta. I'll run down the people I know. Adam Baldwin from Firefly.
Okay.
Dean Cain.
Okay.
TV Superman.
Well, from how many years ago?
Right. Michael Dorn from Star Trek.
Okay.
Colin Ferguson from Eureka.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's going to be doing a lot of cons now that the show's canceled.
Jonathan Frakes from Star Trek.
Uh-huh.
Josh Gates from Destination Truth.
Ooh, he's a big one.
Anthony Michael Hall.
Wow.
Sean Marr. Is that how you say his name from Firefly? Mayor? Marr?
Yes. Yep.
Rose McGowan.
Yeah, see, what happened to her?
I don't know. Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, what happened to him?
Steven Yeun from Walking Dead. Naturally, because
Do you know that Steven Yeun was Sheldon's first roommate?
Yes, I saw that on Big Bang Theory.
Yes.
Jamie Bamber from Battlestar Galactica, Bruce Boxleitner from Tron, James Callis from Battlestar, Carrie Elways.
Sure.
Comic Con staples Lou Ferrigno, Gil Gerard, and let's see, is the other one on here too?
Erin Gray,
she's on there too.
Patch.
Eddie McClintock from Warehouse 13.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Kathy Najimy. That's kind of a weird one.
No, it's not, because you know what her sci-fi tie-in is?
What?
She was in the pre-show video for Extraterrestrial at Disney World.
Oh,
with Tyra and Jeffrey Jones, the pedophile.
Oh yeah, that's right. David Prowse, Darth Vader. Rebecca Riggs and Tim Russ from Star Trek Voyager.
Tim Russ was the Black Vulcan.
Yes. Ian Somerhalder from Lost. Because his
Vampire Diaries.
His career's gone far, right?
He's on Vampire Diaries.
Okay. Adam West and Burt Ward are in red, and I don't know what that means. Maybe they've canceled. You got LeVar Burton, Felicia Day, Gigi Elgley from Farscape, Jane Espenson, Joe Flanagan from Stargate Atlantis. Ooh, Ghost Hunter Steve Gonzalez.
And Dave Tango.
Dave Tango's on there too.
Oh my God!
What?
Stop, keep going.
Virginia Hay from Farscape, Grant Imahara from Mythbusters, James Marsters. That's Spike?
Yes.
Okay. From Buffy.
Uh-huh.
Nichelle Nichols, Robert Picardo, Katie Sackhoff, Jewel State, and Billy West.
Mm-hmm.
Who did you see that you said, oh my God?
Leslie Carrera Rudolph.
Who is that?
She's the voice of Abby Kadabby on Sesame Street. She's also a friend of mine.
Oh, okay. So that's quite the hodgepodge of people going to DragonCon this year.
That is quite the hodgepodge.
Oh, and Ed Asner canceled.
Oh.
What does the red mean? Oh, marked within 7 days. Okay. So they've just added Burt Ward and Adam West.
Oh.
Dragon Con seems like it's a big deal this year.
It certainly does. We should go.
I wish I could.
Oh. It's also the weekend after Celebration 6.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
53 days, according to this.
Yes, I see that.
It's amazing how they get some of the Star Trek people, but not like the big ones.
Well, because they can command a bigger fee on their own.
Yeah.
I don't think these people are making more than $5,000 for the weekend, and I think most of them are on the $2,000 level.
Yeah.
Like how busy is Garrett Wang? Wang.
Probably not very busy.
My name's Wang.
And they're probably flying them in. They're probably putting them up.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're getting $2,000 on top of that for a weekend. I'd be into that. It's $2,000 for sitting and signing that, like, your name. What the fuck?
Exactly.
Oh, Saul Rubnik's going to be there too. Good old Saul. Who else? Richard Hatch? Who's Stephen R. McQueen?
He is on Vampire Diaries.
Oh. Any relation to the original Steve McQueen?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, screw him. Who cares?
Yes.
Well, let's see if we can find a smaller Comic-Con. Let's see who...
Let's find a crappy Comic-Con.
Let's see who the Boston Comic-Con had this year. Do they not give you a list of who was there? They had the Legends of Mad panel.
Ooh, who would have been there? Sergio Oreganos?
Al Feldstein, Paul Coker, and Al Jaffe.
Al Jaffe. Wow.
Yeah. That's weird. They don't tell you who was there. Well, that sucks. What's up with Boston, John?
Sucks. That's because the website you're looking for is for next April's.
Well, yeah, but they should have at least had a thing that said who had been there.
Well, you could click on the highlights. No?
No.
That makes too much sense? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Let's see. Emerald City Comic Con.
They have one in Oz?
Yes. They're not going to tell you either. These people suck. You know, we're trying to make a bit out of this. What the hell?
Yeah, they're not helping. Bastards. So back to what we were talking about and movie reboots and crap.
Yeah.
I would much rather see the depths of storytelling that they put into something like Arkham Asylum on the screen as opposed to yet another Batman story.
Well, I think that has...
if you're going to do it, go so flippin' obscure that, you know, you're pulling out the Mad Hatter and the Ventriloquist.
Well, I think that has to do a lot, though, with the fact that Warner Brothers Animation has nothing to do with the movies. And there's... I guess there's that thing in Hollywood where that if you work on TV, you're lower than the people who work in the movies.
Okay.
And the only reason that Arkham City was as good as it was is because they had Paul Dini write it.
See, I think Paul Dini deserves to do a feature film.
Well, so do I, but...
I mean, he could do a Harley Quinn origin story that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Because, well, he created her.
Yeah.
It's not something that, you know, has been hashed over and over again.
Well, I was listening to a podcast that had Mark Hamill on it, and he was... whoever was hosting the podcast had said, why don't those people make the movies? And he said he felt the same way, but that it's that Hollywood thing of there's a TV section and then there's the movie section and none of them ever meet. You know, one
but,
doesn't
but
know what the
other's doing.
But still,
you throw Paris Hilton into a movie.
Hey.
You know, it's... for Christ's sake.
I agree.
Get over yourself. You know? None of you are Cecil B. DeMille. Trust me. Nobody is going to be debating, you know, the film styles of Christopher Nolan 20 years from now.
You don't think he's like the next Spielberg? You don't think that he's going to carry that much weight in the future?
No. I don't think anybody is going to be the next Spielberg or Lucas.
Really?
I think that there's nobody who has risen to that status.
Okay.
I think Shoemaker was getting there, but he's kind of fucked up.
Well, yeah. But you don't think like what we're seeing now with the numbers that the box office is doing, that these people like Nolan and Joss Whedon and all these people that are writing films that people are wanting to go see, you don't think they're going to rise to that level of, okay, Joss Whedon now has free reign to do whatever the hell he wants for his next film?
If but he, does he really?
If he wants to bring out Serenity 2... You don't think?
No,
like,
I think he's still going to be governed by who's paying the money, who's backing this.
Okay.
I don't think that anybody is the next Orson Welles.
Okay.
Ridley Scott, James Cameron. And James Cameron should have his director's card taken away anyway, since he's working on Avatar 2 and 3.
And 4.
And 4.
They're going to do 3.
Avatar the musical.
Why do you think
Avatar Secret of Nim?
Why do you think that that kind of Hollywood is over?
Well, that kind of Hollywood is over. It does not exist anymore. The Hollywood of the superstar talent and the superstar directors just don't exist. There is no current Marilyn Monroe. There is no current Betty Davis.
But we do have stars that if you were to mention their names, almost everybody knows.
Julia Roberts.
Julia Roberts. Whether you love her or hate her.
Angelina Jolie.
Angelina Jolie. You don't think like that's kind of the like old way of
No, because I don't think TMC is ever going to run, not TMC, AMC is ever going to run an Angelina Jolie film festival featuring Sky Captain and Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Okay?
I forgot she was in Sky Captain.
I just don't see it happening.
But, okay, but on that, you don't think that they'd do a week of Christopher Nolan films and do Memento, The Prestige?
But see, I think the Memento and Prestige were two excellent movies. I think everything after that was a paycheck.
But I think he's doing that old thing of he's going to make a movie where...
A lot of money by putting crap out and then using that money to make something really good?
Well, that thing of he makes one for the studio and that makes a lot of money, so then he gets to make the movie he wants, which is how you got Inception. You know?
I don't know. Obviously, only the time will tell.
Okay. I think for a while we've been missing, like, household name movie directors. Like, you had the Spielberg and you had Lucas and people that you could name off and people would be like, oh, okay, that's the guy who directed this movie. Or,
right.
You know, if you said Martin Scorsese, people knew who you were talking about.
Sure.
But I think that's coming back. I think
at a point, if you said Jerry Bruckheimer.
Yeah. I mean,
you would know who that is.
Yeah.
But I think the fact that, say, a Christopher Nolan movie makes infinite more money than a Woody Allen movie just says something about the appetite that's out there. It's like everybody clamors to be in a Woody Allen movie.
Right.
But they really don't do a lot of business.
But yeah, I mean, but he's established from the old school as to where, like, Christopher Nolan and all those guys are paving new roads of wanting to do films. Like look at the cast of Inception that he got.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some of the top stars and some of the people that are becoming top stars to be in that based off of his past work.
You think so?
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised at the comeback of Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, I don't think he can act to save his life.
Yeah, but look at the roles he's getting.
I know, but...
J. Edgar Hoover.
He looks too young to me to play... to have played J. Edgar Hoover.
Well,
you know, he's still got that kid from Titanic look. And I
better than the kid from the Growing Pains look.
or Gilbert Grape.
Yes, Gilbert Grape.
See, I think that was his last really good performance.
You didn't think The Beach was?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Just saying.
Okay.
I just think, you know, he's one of those people that keeps getting these roles, and it's like, why? Why do you keep putting him in shit?
I think there's lots of people like that.
I mean, you look at the trailer for Django Unleashed, that Quentin Tarantino film,
uh-huh.
And the worst part of that is Leonardo DiCaprio. And it's like, why are you putting him in movies?
Yeah.
I don't get it. Although they keep putting Mark Wahlberg in movies too, so what do I know?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that.
Although Ted does look funny.
Yes.
And I don't.
Ted looks hilarious.
I don't think that's Wahlberg. I think that's Seth MacFarlane.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
You know.
But it is Wahlberg's original voice. That's what he sounds like without hiding the Boston accent.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
Did you ever meet him?
No, never have.
Never ran into him on the streets of Boston?
No.
Bump into him and be like, holy shit, you're Marky Mark.
No.
No?
No. Right. Fine. Where's the Funky Bunch? They in the car waiting for you?
So
the Funky Bunch just said hi.
Okay, so you said before that they're talking about rebooting Batman with Ryan Reynolds?
Uh-huh.
Where did you see that?
Because
I know he just signed on to do another reboot of The Highlander, where he's going to play Connor McLeod of the Clan McLeod, because there can be only one.
No, I thought, yeah. Oh, thank you, Internet.
Can't find it?
No, I found it. It said, apparently, even though Green Lantern flopped, they say it wasn't Reynolds' fault. And it showed,
it showed
the studio that he could craft an effective superhero.
No, Green Lantern was his fault. I'm sorry.
Well, according to the CEO of Warner Brothers, Barry Meyer, we've begged Chris Nolan to stay on board, but he refuses. He feels that he can't do anything more with the series after this third film. We don't want to let Batman die, though. We know there are tons of fans out there that want more, and that's why we're looking into a reboot. We love the work that Ryan did for us on Green Lantern, and we feel that he's the right man to lead the Batman franchise.
Why?
So there you have it.
So he's going to be, like, king of remakes.
Well, yeah. Point. Isn't that all he does? Amityville Horror?
Yeah.
Creepy Friday? Or whatever that one did with Jason Bateman?
The Switch?
Yeah, that's it. Don't cross the streams.
He was so funny when he was on Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place.
And then Two Guys and a Girl.
And Two Guys and a Girl, because they dropped the Pizza Place.
Yes, because that was
stupid. Nathan Fillion got his start.
Yes.
He played the super who ends up marrying the chick.
Yes. What happened to her?
She was on Monk, wasn't she?
Oh, is that where she was?
I think she was on Monk. I don't know what she's doing now.
She was too close to the chick from Dahmer and Greg.
Jenna Elfman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she was too close to that. It's like, oh, that's that girl. No, it's not, but she looks just like him.
Well, and the fact that they were on ABC at the same time.
Yeah.
You know.
She could have ran next door and did the same role and saved him some money.
Well, there you go. Maybe that... Wouldn't that be interesting if you took the same cast of people and had them do two completely separate shows that were, like, polar opposites of each other?
With the same characters?
Well, not the same... The same actors, but playing two completely different characters on two completely different shows, all at the same time. Like, in one, this dude's a priest, and in the next one, he's, like, a rapist. Or, you know...
I know,
some people would say the same thing, but I'm not.
Yeah, that'd be very interesting.
I think we should get on that.
We should.
You know, one's like a period drama, and then the next one is like futuristic.
And they share the same time slot. So it's the same cast every week, but it's a different show every other week. Think about that, huh? Huh? Think
okay.
about that.
That would be kind of cool.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Nobody steal that idea. That's one we'll work on.
That, yeah. You'll have to edit that out. Don't tell anybody.
Shh.
Ah, oh, lordy, lordy. Yeah, good times.
Yeah. All right, well. I think we've taken up enough people's time this week.
Haven't we?
Yeah.
Well, good.
It's been close to an hour.
Yeah? Any fan mail this week?
We did get an email from our old buddy Harold.
Of course we did.
He's, you know, he's hanging in there and listening to the shows, and let's see what he... Let me see. Let me pull it up. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I guess during last week's show that you mentioned that his cat was listening to the podcast.
Maybe.
And he says, no, my cat does not listen to the podcast. I think she has more sense than I do. based on John's racial profiling, I would say he has completed his conversion from being a Yankee to being a full-fledged Southern white boy. All he needs now is a pickup truck and mud flaps. You used to have a pickup truck.
I did.
A rebel flag and a fat chick with a camel toe riding next to him. if you really want a good laugh at the sake of racial profiling, Google Shirley Q. Liquor. Hell, for all I know, she could be John's alter ego. Have you ever heard of...
No.
Shirley Q. Liquor?
I think I've heard of her.
And then he talks about bringing up our podcast at his next therapy session. So,
okay, we'll do that.
Did you look it up?
I did. We'll discuss later.
Okay.
Well, that's nice.
We'll save that for next week.
Maybe.
Okay. We'll figure this out. So, if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email like Harold does at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. Go to the website, check out the other podcasts, all 50, however many of them. I've lost count.
Five?
55, 56, something like that.
Score!
Follow us on Twitter @DanceMonkeyPod, and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
I'm Batman.